This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Welcome to Hotlanta, a city where plenty of black folks own their own businesses, where historically black colleges and universities are pumping out black professionals and intellectuals, and where entertainment has found a new home without the high cost of Hollywood or Manhattan. So how did this southern city become a mecca for black movers and shakers? Monica Pearson and William Boone have plenty of experience in watching Atlanta grow. Monica is an Action News nightly anchor for the local Atlanta station, WSB-TV, and Professor Boone is an associate professor of political science at Clark Atlanta University. Monica and Professor Boone, welcome.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks.
So let's start with the mayor. We just heard from her, and Monica, I'm sure that you've covered her many times. As her tenure goes into its final year and a half, how do you think that she will be perceived as a mayor?
I think she will be perceived as one of the greatest mayors we've had because she was willing to deal with topics no one wanted to deal with before. No one wanted to bite the bullet and clean up the city's infrastructure in terms of the horrible things we had going on with our water and sewer system. She was willing to say, we are going to raise the taxes, we are going to raise the rates, and we are going to fix the problems.
Professor, considering that there's now a budget shortfall, does that change the equation at all for how Atlanta's health is going to unfold over the next couple years?
I don't think so. I think a good deal of that has to do, of course, with the national economy. That's why the city's going down. Well, the city's not going downhill. Why you find the shortfalls? And, of course, you understand that the city cannot be in default, period. So it has to have a balanced budget, so cuts are going to be made. And I think, as Monica indicated, Mayor Franklin's position with the community is so high. Her rating is so high. I think that what she talks about, folk understand it. They believe her, and that's very, very important.
And she's willing to take the heat.
Right.
She's not afraid to say, I know this is painful, but sometimes you have to have a little pain in order to make it better. There had been many mayors before her who saw the problems with the city's infrastructure and did nothing about it. She came in saying, we're going to fix the potholes, but more importantly, we're going to clean up the water. We're going to do the things that the federal government is mandating.
Well, Professor, I want to ask you and Monica afterwards about your relationship with this city. I understand you're not a native, but you have been here for quite a while. Tell us about how you got to Atlanta.
Actually, I first arrived in Atlanta to attend Atlanta University, and I picked up a couple of degrees, went to the West, went to Texas, as a matter of fact, and had to come back. And the first time someone offered me a chance to return to Atlanta, I returned. As a matter of fact, my wife pushed me back to make sure. Atlanta is a very dynamic city. It's a very dynamic city. And in my profession, political science, it offers a great opportunity because here we are in the South. And the South is where all the political action takes place. And that's something other folk don't want to recognize. And Atlanta is the center of that firestorm of activity.
Monica, what about you? Are you a native? Or
I've been here 33 years. I came from Louisville, Kentucky, and I came for a job when they were going to put a woman on the 6 o'clock news, and they got a twofer, an African-American and a woman. Until I came 33 years ago, there were no women or African-Americans doing the nightly news. We did noon, we did weekends, but the bread and butter shows, there were no women or African-Americans on. So I came for that. But I came also because of the AU complex where you had the center of activity in academia. It was exciting, and you could see how the city was growing and how it was, even then, 33 years ago, beginning to be international.
And actually, right, because this is the home of Du Bois. And Du Bois started here, and a good many exciting things have happened in the city around the center. And the black community has always been aggressive about its position in the city. I mean, certainly there are those who may characterize it differently. But overall, I think we have to characterize it as one that's been concerned and one that's been a vital part of pushing the city forward.
And you've got to remember, too, and I'm sure you would agree with me, Dr. Boone, everyone knows Madam C.J. Walker.
Yes.
But how many people know Dr. Alonzo Herndon, who was the first millionaire, black millionaire,
right,
with a barbershop down on a white street?
Right.
So, actually, Professor, I want you to take us a little further back in history to the days of the, antebellum, Civil War, Reconstruction. What was the place of African Americans in the city that far back?
Oh, it was what you would expect. I mean, because coming out of the American Civil War, all of the South was devastated economically, politically, and socially. And Atlanta was no different. I mean, after all, Sherman had marched through Atlanta, had rent the psyche of most of these people, and they were so anti-North, which of course translated to being anti-black. And blacks were, but all the blacks were here. And the black population, they began to pull itself together, and it did begin to move, because it was in Atlanta and surrounding areas that you got to push for education. I think that's very important. So you did have that kind of progressive strand in the black community in Atlanta. Then the response to the white community, of course, was not what one would expect, but certainly it came around probably when Henry Grady arrived on the scene.
And you have to remember also, too, that when Sherman came through and burned us down, it was because the city was a major distribution center for the Confederate Army, which, although it's not for the Confederate Army anymore, it is still a major distribution center. Atlanta has always been talking about trade, talking about transportation, because it started out as Terminus, which was where the train stopped.
Yeah, right. And that's very important, because Atlanta started as a city that wanted to be a part of the northern business elite and northern business progressivism, although you had some people want to hold back. But it's always been that way, and it's continued. That has been the hallmark of Atlanta. And if black folk brought pressure on the business elite in order to get certain concessions and to make the city too busy to hate.
Now, you've got to remember, too, Auburn Avenue, which let us not forget that even with the segregation, there was always a very strong black economic community here on Auburn Avenue.
Yeah, very vibrant.
Let's touch briefly on the civil rights era. Of course, this city has a long history of being, as you mentioned, Professor, a political center. What do you think that Atlanta brought to the movement?
Well, it brought Martin Luther King. But beyond that, Atlanta, it was very interesting because Atlanta acted as a more of a moderating force if one looks at the history of it. Because up for a long period of time, there were no major demonstrations in Atlanta. There finally was one. And it was somewhat moderated by the white business elite. And when I say moderate, I don't mean they capitulated. I simply mean that they were prepared not to allow the Klan and other elements to come in and give the city a black eye, which gave the black community some leverage in terms of trying to move things forward on that particular scale.
Because even before Dr. King, his daddy, Martin Luther King Sr., what he would do, he and a large number of African Americans would meet with the white business leaders and would work things out.
Yeah, they would. And I think there's a lot of research on that, which indicated that they did more consulting than anything else, because those particular individuals, although very aggressive and very prominent individuals, sometimes only had to bring back what the white community wanted. But you also saw within the black community during that period, in that post-civil rights period of the 60s, the unity among black Democrats and black Republicans. They threw aside the party labels and began to move in a way that is shown in the days of unity. That gives us a Maynard Jackson and the black mayors that have succeeded him.
And when you look at what also happened after the death of Dr. King, the assassination of Dr. King, you have to look at the white mayor at that time, Ivan Allen, who said, got with the black community. And we had no riots in Atlanta during that period because of the work of both the black and the white community. But even before that, when Dr. King won the Nobel Peace Prize, there had never been an integrated dinner in this city. And Ivan Allen said, how can we not honor the son? And he then got the American Hotel to have the first integrated dinner in the city for Dr. King.
Now, Monica, considering that you've been here 33 years, you must have seen the metro area grow phenomenally. And one of the things we're going to talk about shortly is the immigrant population, how there's so many more African and Caribbean immigrants. What else have you seen happen?
Well, not only African and Caribbean, but we also have a huge influx of people from Latin America. And it's amazing how this city also has grown in its diversity in terms of food. Buford Highway is a stretch of where you can go from like a Lenox Square all white to the next phase you're moving into the Latin community, and then the next phase you're into the Chinese and Japanese communities. We have Saturday schools here for the Japanese, for German children. The city is no longer just black or white.
Professor, let me move us a little bit into the economy. Now, obviously, there's some companies that have been headquartered here, Coca-Cola, Home Depot, mm-hmm. UPS, and on and on and on. But this merger between, Delta going in and really absolutely bonding with Northwest, I mean, pending approval, is that going to help the city, you think?
We were talking about this beforehand.
Earlier, right? Yeah, certainly it's going to help the city of Atlanta because the hub of the newly merged airline will be here in the city. And certainly that cannot do anything but help Atlanta. And if you recall, Delta started here, of course, and Atlanta and Delta are synonymous in a certain context. I don't know what it's going to do for customers and other folk like that, but in terms of the city's image and the city to be able to brand itself, yes, and to enlarge the airport, all that's to Atlanta's benefit.
And there Monica, there have been quite a few companies that have come here, but we were talking about, people are asking, why is it that Delta got it? Well, what people need to look at is that Northwestern is heavily unionized, while Delta is in a right-to-work state and is not that unionized except for the pilots' union.
Yeah, and which I think is problems down the road for the newly merged. We're going to talk about the politics of it. It's really problems for them, I think, in that regard, in terms of the union versus non-union. And Atlanta, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, we have to wrap this up. It's so exciting, but I want to ask you to comment on something the mayor said. She said it's a good time to be alive. Just quickly, Monica and then Professor, is it a good time to be alive in Atlanta?
I think it's a good time to be alive in the United States of America. Any day above ground is a good day. But in Atlanta, yes, because you see our community growing in so many ways. You see political strength growing, and you see our young people in the AU complex grabbing a hold to that they can do and be anything.
Yeah, it really is a great time. It's a great time in America because what we see is the playing out of something that I think the King would look upon with favor, both here in the city and nationally.
Well, I want to thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
William Boone is an associate professor of political science at Clark Atlanta University, and Monica Pearson is the evening news anchor for WSB-TV, and they both join me here at the studios of WCLK in Atlanta.